gave a lot of good to the church of Philippi. He thanked them for the things they had. And it continues to go. And then what has happened is, you can study this out and research this out. You have found that there is places that the flooring has to be totally replaced because of a little drip, because the water was not taken care of. It destroyed it. It destroyed walls. It's drywall. It's done damage. More than gushing water, a little drip can cause problems. Problems are going to happen. You know, problems going to happen because people have problems, and there's people in a church. How many have never had a problem in your life? Anyone here? I think every one of us have had a problem. And we have problems every day of our lives because we are human beings, we are sinners, and we are people, and there's going to be problems. There's going to be problems, but that's not the issue. The issue is how we handle the problems. Now, as we look at this portion of Scripture, chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore. Therefore. That word therefore, and we're going to read the whole portion in just a minute, verse 1 through 4. But as we get into this, that word therefore connects us back to chapter 3. Connects us back to the thought of living as citizens. Remember, that was the challenge. The challenge was what was going on, and he says, all right, also keep in mind that the Lord is coming back. You're going to leave this world. You're going to be with him for all of eternity. Therefore, in light of eternity, therefore, in light of being citizens of heaven, therefore, because of this, now he's going to give a challenge given. And we're going to look at the challenge given and what we are to do in regards to the challenge. Oh, no, there's a problem. We're going to be told certain things that we need to be doing in our lives. But then we're going to be introduced to two individuals that had a problem in the church. And we're going to look at that problem. We're going to look at what was taking place. And it's not always the problem that's the issue. It's how we handle the problem. Brother Dick hates plumbing. And many years ago, Brother Dick told me a story about his toilet. and about some leaks he had with his toilet. And Brother Dick tried to fix that toilet, and he had many issues with that toilet. He is not a plumber. He does not enjoy the plumbing aspect of things. So Brother Dick, this is my embellishment of the story, I'll just tell you. Brother Dick decided he was done trying to do it the right way. And he did not want to pay the money to have Brother Wade, another plumber, come in and fix it. Now that's true. So Brother Dick got the duct tape out. And he took the duct tape and he wrapped it around and around and around and around and around and around. And it seemed to solve the problem for a little bit. But anyone knows that duct tape is good for fixing a lot of things, but one thing duct tape is not good to fix is water. Because eventually, the duct tape over a course of time starts to get soft, loses stickiness, and it starts to puff out. And Brother Dick's leak came back. It wasn't solved. It's how we handle the problem. Now, the proper way, if Brother Dick couldn't fix it the proper way, is to call someone that knows what they're doing. It is interesting, when you call someone that knows what they're doing, things can be fixed pretty quickly. But when you don't know what you're doing, sometimes you don't solve the problem. And so let's look at Scripture. Let's see the truths that God wants us to glean. If you're able to, please stand with me. Let's read from Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4 this morning. Therefore, my brother, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Odysseus and beseech Syntyche that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask as we look at this portion of Scripture, you would speak to us. And Lord, we would glean that truth you want us to get this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh no, there's a problem. What's the challenge for the church? I want us first to see that we're to stand fast. We're to stand fast. Look at verse 1. Verse 1, Paul says, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for, my joy, my crown. He's talking to those who he had loved, his trophies of God's grace. He's talking to this church at Philippi that he had such a heart and love for. He was burdened for this church because he wanted the church to continue the way the church ought to continue. He wanted the church to be grounded and strong in certain things in their lives. And he says this, therefore, my dearly beloved, my trophies, my crown, my joy, these individuals that I love, that I've given my sweat, blood, and tears for, these individuals that I've given my life for, those that I've served, those that I've been beaten for, those that I've been in prison for, I want you to know that I love you. And because I love you, I want to give you a challenge and a help for you. I want to say this morning, as pastor of this church, I hope you understand the love that I have for each of you. Because let me tell you, if I didn't have a love for each of you, I wouldn't be here. I'm just going to be honest this morning. April will be 20 years that we've been here. And let me tell you, in the 20 years, some of you know, there's been problems that we've had to deal with. There's been big streaming water problems. There's been little dripping problems that we've had to deal with throughout the years. Do you know in your home, there's problems that you have to face? There's the big streaming problems. There's the little dripping problems. But because of love, you deal with the problems within the church. You deal with the problems in your home. You deal with those problems that you're facing. And we must challenge each of us. Now I'm going to say this. Do I believe there's major problems in this church? No, but I know there's problems because there's people. All right? And so because of that, we're going to look at this challenge that's given here, and we need to take hold of what is given here. Because what takes place in verse 2 and verse 3 is something that happens in many churches. So what does he tell them out of love? He tells them, stand fast in the Lord. That word stand fast means to stand firm, to preserve, to persist, to keep one standing. It's used to describe a soldier standing firm against the enemy. In spite of the pressures, in spite of the attacks, in spite of those things, he refuses to give ground or he refuses to flinch or waver in his faith. Reagan, can you help me, please? Come up here real quick. This idea of flinching or giving ground to. Now, there's a game that kids play. It's called the staring game. And what you do is you stare at one another, and you try to do things to get them to blink or to flinch. So, Reagan, go ahead and stare at this beautiful face of mine. Can you even get serious to do this? Now, just look straight at me. And don't blink. Now, you flinched. That was too easy. But the idea is this. We're to stand firm. Brother Jamie, come up here. Now, I want us to keep this idea of standing firm and not flinching, not giving in. So, Brother Jamie, I want you to stare at me. And I don't want you to give in. I want you to look and keep your eyes straight on me. Now, he didn't flinch at all. I know if you could see that. Now, he's the one I probably would have hit, but this is the idea of not flinching, not giving in, stand fast. He says, church, there's going to be pressure. There's going to be problems. There's going to be those that come against you. There's going to be things that happen. But I want you to understand, you can't flinch. You can't waver. I want you to stand fast. But I want you to stand fast in the Lord. I want you to be firm in the Lord. I want you to be grounded in the Lord. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12 for a moment. I want you to look at verse 1 and verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. And I want us to look at this. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your minds. We need to be steadfast. We can't faint. We can't be weary in well-doing. What he's telling here in Philippians chapter 4, he's telling this church, there's going to be problems. Oh no, there's problems. But stand fast in the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I want you to look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16. And verse number 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. The challenge is that we're to stand firm in our faith. Don't waver in our faith. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand steadfast. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you know when problems come? You know what we do sometimes? We waver in our belief system. We waver in our faith. He told the church at Philippi, don't you waver in what you believe. Don't you waver in the Lord. You stay firm in the Lord. Don't flinch. Reagan flinched. Brother Jamie didn't flinch. I'm impressed because I thought he was going to. Especially when I got right to his nose there. This idea, though, is to stand fast in your faith. I believe many believers today have wavered in their faith. Do I believe they lost their salvation? No, because salvation cannot be lost. Because salvation is a gift of God and we receive that. God doesn't take that back. But I believe that some people may not be truly in the faith and they got to look at themselves. But if you're truly in Christ Jesus, you're not going to lose your salvation. But let me tell you, I believe we waver in our faith, our belief system, what we believe. And that same faith that saved you is the same faith that we need to have each and every day of our lives, trusting in God, relying upon Him. We got to stand fast in that faith. But also go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. And when we're in there, we looked at this verse. I just want to read this verse this morning. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your fears, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The challenge is to stand fast in our faith, but stand fast in our fellowship. To be of one mind, united together. You see, he says, my dearly beloved, my ones that I long for, my crown and my joy, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in your faith. Stand fast in your fellowship. Have the mind of Christ. Work together. Be united together. Go to Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. Stand fast in this thing that you've been set free from the bonds of this sin. Stand fast in the truth that Christ has set you free. Don't waver in that. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistles. Stand fast and hold the traditions. Hold the truths of what you've been taught, the foundations of your faith. Hold fast to the teachings and the word of God. Hold fast to those things. Because problems are going to come. But we're to stand fast in the Lord. He says, I love you. I want you to stand fast because now I'm going to address something that is happening in this church at Philippi. Don't waver. Just because you see problems, don't waver. You know, a lot of times in a church, we see problems happen and we're ready to jump ship. We're ready to let that affect us. Do you know how many people have let someone else's sins affect their life? You see someone have a problem. You see someone struggling in their life. You see someone, and then, oh, I'm just going to stop going to that church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. There is a bunch of hypocrites in church because we're people and we have problems. Okay? That's the truth. But we see everybody else's issues. We see everybody else's problems. And we're ready to jump ship. We're ready to go back. He says, stand firm. Stand fast. Hold true to what you know. Don't you trenches and you let it continue to be the lighthouse it ought to be. That's what he's saying. Don't lose ground. Just because there's problems in the church, don't let the church lose ground. Just because people aren't living the way they should, don't lose ground. Stand firm. Stand strong. Be that strong tower. But I want you to see the other challenge to the church of, oh no, there's problems, is to stand fast, but verse 2 tells us to make peace. Make peace. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There can be, and please don't take what I'm going to say wrong, but there can be great power in the church if the women in the church are prayer warriors. But there can be great nightmare in the church if women in the church are gossips and quarrel and have problems. Here are two good women that Satan got a hold of. It is interesting that he calls them out by name, and he's dealing with what the issue is and what is happening in the church. He says, you're my crown and joy. I want you to stand fast, but I want you to understand that there needs to be peace in the church. And yet there's not peace in the church, because even though the church is doing well, even though things seem to be good, there is a small leak happening in the church. We gave the illustration, the small leak dripping. There is a small leak happen in the church, and if it's not taken care of, it could split the church wide open, and then the church would not be an effective lighthouse in the city of Philippi. Now, these women were not getting along, and their attitude and actions were fleshy and carnal. He says, I beseech them that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. You know that saying? These women need to stop fighting. Stop having a little fight over whatever they're fighting over. And realize they got to have the same mindset. What is that mindset? That's the same mindset he addressed earlier on. He said, this mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's saying, don't have your own minds. Don't have your own ways of what you want to do. Don't you get so upset about the little things that you want to get upset about. These ladies are causing disunity in the church because they don't have the right mind. Do you know what's happened in many churches today? There's problems in the church, dripping problems in the church, because they're individuals, not just ladies, but because people don't have the mind of Christ that they should have. They don't have that right mindset. And there's quarrels, and there's fights, and there's problems. Do you know, we're not going to always agree with one another. That's okay. We can have some disagreements. We can disagree on certain things. And that should not cause quarrel or division or trouble or problems in the church. But what happens is this. Someone doesn't like what someone else did, so they open their mouth and they start spewing things about someone else and saying things that they have against this person and what this person's done. They start telling you everything that Brother Rex did and all the nasty things he did to me and how he treats me and doesn't respond to my texts and how he gets upset at all these little things and all that there, and then says his phone's not working and do all this. Wait, the only one that needs to know that is me and him and God. Now, that's not truth, all right? That's just an illustration. If Brother Rex is awake, he usually texts right back. If Brother Rex is sleeping, it's usually about 1 o'clock before he texts back. That's the truth. Right, Kate? And so this is the idea here. There is so much going on because people want their own agenda. And they get a spew at the mouth to create issues and create problems. It's supposed to be a spirit of peace. If we're going to have problems, even if there's problems, we got to make peace. Scripture really talks about how we're to handle things and how we're to take care of the issues that are at hand that we face and that we go into. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment. I want you to see something. Matthew chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 23 and verse 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to the brother, then come and offer thy gift. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want us to look at verses 17 through verse 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dear beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will pay, saith the Lord. Therefore, thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what the challenge is? Make peace. There's going to be times that you have issues with someone in the church. I'm just going to be real this morning. There's going to be times that someone said something that you didn't like. There's going to be times someone in the church did something you don't like. There's going to be times you've said something they didn't like. And there's going to be times that you did something they don't like. There's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. There's going to be those things. But what are we to do? We're to make peace. We're to live peacefully with all men as much as possible. We are to live peacefully. What does that mean? That means if I've done someone against someone, or if someone does something against me, I'm to have the right attitude and the right actions. I can't make them do right, but I can make sure that my life is where it needs to be. You see, if someone says something mean to me, I have two ways to respond. I can say, okay, I don't like that, but I'm going to live at peace, and I forgive them. Or I can say, you wretched person. Who do you think you are, Brother Rich, to say that to me? Now, I could respond two different ways. I can say, I forgive you. Well, he didn't ask for forgiveness, so I don't have to give forgiveness. Do you know forgiveness is not as much for him as it is for yourself? Forgiveness is more for you than it is for the other person. Because I got to live at peace in my life. And I can't be at peace with God if I'm not at peace with other people. And I got to live at peace, and within the church and within the walls of the church, we're to be at peace. That's why it says these ladies did not have the same mind. They weren't of unity. There was disunity because of these individuals. Oh, preacher, just because what I do is not going to make a difference in the church. I'm just speaking my mind as an individual, and I should be able to speak my mind. And if someone did something against me, I should be able to just tell them how it is. I should be able to share it how it is and just let them have it. You know, that's just my type A personality. And I'm just going to let it spew. Do you know what you're causing? Disunity within the church. Because even though That might be my personality. It doesn't excuse what I'm doing, because I'm to live peacefully with all men. I'm to have unity within the church. I'm to live in that right mindset and the right way and have that mind of Christ. The challenge is stand fast. The challenge is to make peace. The challenge is we're to work together. The challenge is we're to put our differences together. The challenge is that we're to love one another, that we choose to love each other, that no matter what we've done, no matter how we've treated each other, no matter what has been said, that we choose to love one another. That's the challenge. The challenge is for these ladies to put their differences aside and hold hands together and praise God together. That's the challenge. And that's the challenge we're given, not just to the church at Philippi, but that's the challenge we're given here at Lakeshore Drive Baptist Church. That's the challenge that's given to every New Testament local church, that we understand that we're to live peacefully. Now, what does the Bible say? If a brother has done aught against you, before you go to the altar, before you go and worship God, before you can worship God both in spirit and truth, you've got to get that taken care of. Do you know there's a lot of people that come to church and they have some issues with someone in the church, or they have some issues with someone else, they have their own attitude to someone else? You know what the Bible says? You can't worship God in spirit and truth even if you're in God's house, because you've got to get it right before you can go to the altar. And we have allowed things to get in our lives, and we haven't handled it. Oh no, there's a problem. Problem's coming. I got to stand fast. I got to make peace. But I want us to see verse 3. It's interesting as we look at verse 3. We can spend a lot of time on these ladies in the church, because men never do anything wrong. It's always ladies. We know that. You can laugh a little bit. You know I'm kidding. Men have their issues too. But look at verse 3. I want us to see a thought here. Because problems come, we're to stand fast. Problems come, we need to make peace. We need to get it right. If someone's done something against you, go confront them. Deal with it. If they don't respond, then you bring someone else. The Bible gives us in Matthew the whole account how to handle problems, how to handle that. But here's another thing I want you to see. Look at verse 3. I want you to see what happened and what took place. And I want us to look at this thought of being a help during problems. Helping this solution, not causing more problems. Do you know a lot of times, we know we're to stand fast, we're not to waver, we're to be firm. We know that if we have a problem, we need to handle it, make peace. But if it's someone else's problem, and someone else is doing things, you know what we do sometimes? Instead of it being part of the solution, we're part of the problem. We cause more problems than we do helping the problem. But look at verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Now again, these ladies I don't think were bad, but Satan got a hold of them. He says that they labored together with him for the gospel, in the gospel. They were involved in the church. They were involved in the ministry. They were involved in carrying out things, but they let some minor thing get in their life and cause problems. Instead of settling it the right way, it caused problems in the church, and it had to be dealt with. What does he say though? Verse 3. He says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. That means true, genuine one compared to that which is counterfeit. That means comrade. It means a teammate. It means someone that comes alongside. Now, there's some say this could have been an exact individual, because there's other names mentioned here. It could just be the church in general. It could have been just, you know, the church at Philippi, those that are comrades, those that are teammates, come alongside, that are true and genuine. You come alongside and be a help. It could be an exact individual within the church, but the application is the same. There needs to be individuals. There needs to be ones that come alongside, that are comrades, that are teammates, that are individuals that are going to come, I entreat you, come alongside and be a help to these ladies that labor together for the gospel. Come and be a blessing and a help in this situation, in this problem. Don't add fuel to the fire, but find ways that you can get these two ladies back together and reconciled and have a united mindset. This is the thought. You need to be a true teammate and try to help, not cause problems. That means you see a feud. How many remember some of the old feuds in the old days? Any remember two families that were feuding families? What's that? The Hatfields and the McCoys. Do you know that whole thing and you studied out? They didn't know why they were feuding with each other and why there was the issues and the problems that was happening. But they were at odds with each other. How does that get solved? How do you help? Well, they need to make peace. But what needs to happen is people need not to take sides. They need to come together in the middle, if you will, and look at ways to bring those two opposing people, families, back together to be a help. When you see a problem in a church, again, I'm not talking just a building, I'm talking to individuals. We need to look and say, okay, how can I help the situation? How can I help see that person get right with God? How can I help see that person get right with God? And if both individuals get right with God, then they'll come back together and be united in mind. Do you know why we have divisions over problems? It's because we don't have the mind of Christ and we're not right with God. Did you get that? The reasons we have division is because we aren't right with God. Oh, preacher, it's what that person did. That's fine. But what am I supposed to do? That person did wrong against me. I can't make that person do right. But I can choose to love that person. In spite of what they've done, I can be at peace myself. And I can continue to live that way. And even though they try to cause division, I'm not going to let it cause division. I'm going to still treat them the way that I'm supposed to treat them. I'm still going to show love that I'm supposed to show love. I'm still going to do things in the church. I'm not going to allow it to cause problems in the church. A true yoke fellow comes alongside and tries to bring people together. It's a mediator. You know, sometimes you need mediators. How many of you ever gone through something and you try to talk to individuals and it doesn't work well? But you bring another person that doesn't usually even say a word, just keeps their mouth shut, and that person's there, and all of a sudden you're able to go ahead and handle the situation that is at hand. This individual, and if he was an individual or just talking about those in general in the church, were to come and be that mediator and be the help. I need to look at the situation and say, how can I help it? Well, the way I can help it is this. I don't need to tell them how wicked and how terrible they are, but I need to remind them this truth, that they have the mind of Christ and to love Christ. I need to challenge them to keep loving Christ. Do you know that would help each of us in our lives handle any division, any problems in our life, if we just learn to keep loving Christ the way we ought to love Christ? If I learn to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, if Christ is who I choose to love, and I choose to love him with all that I have, if I choose to love him, that's going to solve the problems that I face. And I need to challenge myself, and I need to challenge other individuals to keep loving Christ as we should. Because if I love Christ the way I should, that's going to take care of the problems. Do you know if I have division in my home between a husband and a wife, if each individual just keep loving Christ the way they ought to love Christ, that's going to fix the division in the home. Do you know when I done over the years marriage counseling, I don't get into all the weird stuff that's out there in that. Where I really structure it is this. You need to worry about your life individual. You need to worry about your life individual, spiritually speaking, both individuals. When you both get right with God and you both love Christ as you ought to love Christ, then we can work on the relationship. Because when you're right with Christ, guess what? You can work on the relationship because it's no longer about you anymore. It's all about God. And that's same in a division in a church. That's same with problems in a church. When everyone has the mind of Christ and they're loving Christ as they should, you can deal with any problem that comes the way. You can stand fast. You can make peace. You can do those things because you're working together because you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. But I want you to see verse number 4. Now, verse 4 is a verse we use, and I've used, you've all used, in many different ways. And I believe there's many applications we can use verse 4. But I want you to look at the context of the scripture where verse number 4 is given. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Now, where is that at? It's right after just addressing the issues. Now, I understand we applied it, you know, Paul and all he's gone through, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I understand the application. I understand how we can apply it no matter what trials, no matter what problems, no matter what you're facing, rejoice in the Lord always. But I want you to see, look at this. Where is it in the context? In the context, it is tied in to what just he entreated the yoke fellow and the other individuals. Help those women which labor with me, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. One of the best ways to solve problems in the church, take your eyes off yourself and start counting your blessings and start rejoicing in the Lord. Do you know how we handle problems, the challenge of the church? Oh no, there's a problem. Rejoice in the Lord and start counting your blessings and take your eyes off of yourself and what you're facing and what you're going through in your life. You know what we do? We focus on all the problems and we're not rejoicing. We let the problems get us. Do you know? We allow those problems to cause discouragement, depression, division, and disunity in our lives. Do you know what? It could have discouraged this church what the ladies were doing. It could have discouraged the church what all has happened. And Paul says, don't let it discourage you. We have to deal with the problem, but don't let it discourage you. Rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what it is, rejoice in the Lord. No matter there is division, no matter there is problems, no matter there's disunity, no matter that these ladies didn't do right, keep rejoicing in God and keep your eyes affixed upon Him, the author and finisher of your faith. We need to rejoice. It's hard to get mad when you're happy. What's that commercial? Don't get mad, get glad. Some of you remember that. The idea is this. When you're glad and you rejoice in the Lord, you're not going to get mad. Because once again, you're focused on God, not on the problems that are happening. Oh, you got to deal with the problems. You got to make peace. You got to come alongside. You got to help. And you got to try to be a help and a blessing. You got to try to deal with it. You got to try to do your best not to cause more problems, but to solve the problems. But rejoice in the Lord. Have joy in your trials. Have joy in your tribulations. Have joy in whatever you're facing in your life. Have joy. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in God. Don't allow problems to get you. to some, this wasn't a big problem. It's just two ladies that couldn't get along. But Paul knew if it wasn't dealt with, what it could cause. Do you know there's some problems in your life, in my life, individually? I'm talking us as individuals, not as a church right now, but us as individual people. There's some problems in our lives that we think aren't that big of a deal. But if we don't deal with it, it's like that dripping water in the wall and what it could cause. Do you know in a church setting, there might not be some major problems. It might be a minor thing. You might just not want to talk to that person just because that person rubs you the wrong way. You might just not like that person because of how they treat their kids or what they do or this and that. You might think it's minor, but here's the problem. If we don't deal with it in a biblical way, that dripping water will continue to drip and it causes problems. What happens when some people just hold everything in and in and in and in? It starts to swell. And then eventually it bursts. Anyone take a balloon before and you keep blowing it up and you have a game, a competition, usually between two youth, and you try to see who can pop the balloon first by just blowing up. And you continue to blow. Now you got to be careful because you don't want pieces of balloon to get down your throat and all that logistics of that. But you start to blow, and you continue to blow. And all your hot air, Brother Rex, keeps going in that balloon. And you keep blowing, and you keep blowing. And what happens eventually? The balloon bursts. It bursts wide open. Splits apart. That's what happens when we don't deal with things the right way. We don't stand fast. We don't stand fast in the truths that we need to stand fast in. We don't have that right mindset in our lives. We don't rejoice. We don't do those things that we've talked about this morning. Let me challenge each of us. Make peace. Maybe you need to make peace between you and God this morning. Maybe there's something in your life that's not right. Make peace between you and God. Make peace between you and your spouse. Make peace between you and the church member. Make peace between you and your kids. Make peace